Okay, let's unpack this. We all have that specific fantasy,
Right,
right?
for sure.
It's 2025. The world is, more connected than ever. And you picture yourself as this globe-trotting executive or the ultimate digital nomad.
Right.
You're not just on vacation, you're relocating your whole operation. You're answering emails from a service department with some incredible view.
Living the expat executive dream.
Exactly. It sounds
Yeah.
perfect on Instagram or in a company brochure, but then reality hits, specifically the reality of your bank account.
It's the classic collision of expectation versus economics. The dream is free, but the logistics, those come with a very, very steep price tag, especially depending on where you drop that pin on the map.
Right. And that's what we're diving into today. We're looking at the 2025 cost of living landscape for expats in Asia. And
Right.
honestly, the source material we have data from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, the huge expat insider study, it's fascinating.
It really is.
It paints this picture of a continent that's just shifting under our feet. We're seeing this extreme polarization. Some of the most lavish wallet training hubs on Earth sitting right next door to these hidden economic havens.
It is a tale of extremes. And I think for our listeners, whether you're a corporate decision maker moving a team or an entrepreneur looking for a base, this information is vital. It's not just about is it expensive, it's about value, purchasing power, and where the smart money is moving.
And to frame this right, we have to think about the actual mechanics of living abroad. This isn't about booking a hotel for the weekend.
No, this is about extended stays.
Exactly. For over 25 years, platforms like MoveInStay.com have been solving that specific puzzle, the where do I sleep and work for the next 6 months question across Asia Pacific.
They've been connecting professionals with service departments, serviced offices for decades.
Right. But here's the thing. Finding the apartment is the easy part now. The technology's there. The hard part today is choosing the country based on a budget that actually makes sense.
That is a crucial distinction. A platform like MoveInStay can find you the best service department in Singapore or in Ho Chi Minh City. But the difference in what that lifestyle costs you, I mean, that's where the strategy lies.
You have to know the terrain.
You have to understand the macroeconomic terrain before you even think about booking the ticket.
So let's get into that terrain. The mission for this deep dive is to unpack this extreme polarization in Asian living costs. We're going to look at why some neighbors are the most expensive on Earth, while others are the most affordable.
And we have to start with the heavy hitters.
The places that will absolutely test your credit limit.
We do. And this is where the data gets, well, startling. When we look at the global rankings for 2025, Asia is generally seen as affordable, but it houses two of the absolute most expensive cities on the entire planet.
And I was surprised by how firm this list is. We're talking about Singapore and Hong Kong.
That's right.
But it's not just that they're on the list, it's where they sit compared to the rest of the world.
Correct. According to the research, specifically from the Asia Competitiveness Institute and other global rankings, Singapore has climbed to fourth place globally.
Fourth place
In world.
And Hong Kong is holding steady at the 10th spot.
Fourth and 10th. That is huge. And what stands out to me is that these are the only two Asian cities in the top 10.
Yes.
The rest of that list is dominated by the usual suspects: New York, Zurich, Los Angeles. So Singapore and Hong Kong are essentially outliers in their own region. There are islands of extreme cost in a sea of, relative affordability.
They are valid outliers, though. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it tells us something about what economists often call the developed economy tax, or maybe more accurately, the certainty premium.
The certainty premium. I like that. The research indicates a strong correlation. Developed economies generally equal significantly higher costs for expats. It's not just one thing, it's a whole convergence of factors.
But let's drill down into that. What are you actually paying for? If I'm a business traveler using MoveInStay to book a 3-month stint in Singapore, why am I paying such a premium compared to, say, Bangkok? Is it just the rent?
Rent is the headline, certainly. I mean, we aren't just talking expensive. We are talking massive jumps in rental prices for prime districts in just the last 24 months.
Wow.
In land-scarce cities like Singapore and Hong Kong, real estate is the ultimate scarce resource. So whether you're renting a service department or looking for a long-term lease, the demand just outstrips the supply, driving prices up.
But it can't just be rent.
No, it's not. It's the entire ecosystem of the expat lifestyle.
Right. The sources mention specific pressure points beyond housing.
Exactly. Take education. International school fees are a massive driver for expat families. If you're moving a corporate team with children, that is a huge line item.
I can imagine.
A standard expat package now has to factor in school fees that can rival, Ivy League tuition in the U.S. Then you have general inflation, the premium on transportation, plus there's the exchange rate. When the local currency is strong, as the Singapore dollar tends to be, your foreign currency just buys less.
It's a compound effect.
It really is.
So it sounds like you're paying for the stability. You're paying for the infrastructure. You're paying to know that the contract is enforceable. The internet is lightning fast.
And the trains run on time to the second.
Exactly.
Precisely. You are paying for efficiency. It signals that Singapore is positioning itself not just as an Asian hub, but as a global peer to New York and Zurich. And with that status comes the New York and Zurich price tag. It's a calculated trade-off. High cost for low friction.
Okay, so if those are the heavyweights that might make your CFO sweat, let's flip the coin.
Right.
Because the research highlights a completely different reality just a short flight away. And this isn't just about being cheap. It's about a fundamental difference in lifestyle economics. Let's talk about the affordability champions.
This is the brighter side of the data for anyone looking to maximize their runway. And the headline winner here for the fifth consecutive year is Vietnam.
5 years in a row. That is a dynasty. But play devil's advocate for me here. Usually when we hear lowest cost of living, we assume there's a catch, like bad infrastructure or difficult quality of life. Is Vietnam just cheap or is it actually valuable?
That is the critical question. And the Expat Insider study addresses this directly. They don't just measure the cost of a loaf of bread. They measure disposable income adequacy and satisfaction with personal finance.
Disposable income adequacy. Okay, that sounds like economist speak for do I have money left over for fun?
Essentially, yes. It means that expats in Vietnam aren't just spending less. They feel that their income allows them to live a very comfortable, high-quality life. They have financial freedom.
Ah, okay.
Think of it this way. In a place like Zurich or New York, a high salary might get you a small studio apartment and a nice dinner out once a week.
If you're lucky.
Right. In Ho Chi Minh City, half that salary could get you a spacious service department, a housekeeper, five-star dining whenever you want, and travel on the weekends. The raw number on the paycheck might be lower, but the adequacy, the lifestyle leverage, is exponentially higher.
That's a huge psychological difference. It's the difference between scraping by in a major Western hub versus, living with abundance.
That is exactly the dynamic. And it's not just Vietnam. This affordability pattern is heavily concentrated in Southeast Asia. The top 10 affordable destinations list is it's populated by Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Malaysia.
It really is a regional stronghold for value. So if you're a digital nomad or a startup founder, Southeast Asia is basically rolling out the red carpet for you financially.
It is.
But is there a downside? Why isn't everyone doing this?
Well, there are trade-offs. We talked about the certainty premium in Singapore. In these affordable hubs, you are trading some of that certainty. Traffic in Jakarta or Bangkok can be challenging. Bureaucracy can be slower. But for many professionals, the financial trade-off is more than worth the navigational challenges.
And the contrast is stark. The study points out that at the bottom of this index, the places with the worst personal finance satisfaction, you have countries like Norway and Canada.
It's a tale of two Asias, really. You have the hyper-expensive centers of finance, and then you have these booming, vibrant economies where your dollar stretches three or four times further.
It makes you wonder why anyone would choose the expensive route unless they absolutely had to. But here's where it gets really interesting. We've talked about the expensive giants and the affordable countries, but there was one specific finding in the research from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy that actually made me stop and reread the page. It's about a specific city that completely breaks the mold.
Yes, the Shenzhen surprise.
Shenzhen, China. Now let's set the context. When I think of Shenzhen, I think of tech. I think of hardware, manufacturing, drones, massive skyscrapers. It's often called China's Silicon Valley.
The standard name for it, yeah.
And usually when you hear Silicon Valley or tech hub, you immediately think sky-high rent. You think San Francisco, you think Dublin, you think gentrification.
That is the standard economic model. High wages and tech usually drive up the cost of living, gentrifying the area, and pushing prices through the roof. It's sort of the curse of success for many cities.
But the research says Shenzhen is affordable.
Not just affordable. It ranked as the most affordable city for both locals and expats among 45 major cities they analyzed.
That is wild. How is that even possible? A global tech hub that is the most affordable city on the list. We need to really dig into this because it defines all the logic we see in the West. Why isn't Shenzhen becoming San Francisco?
It is counterintuitive, isn't it? But when we break down the why, it comes back to the housing market and really supply strategy. Huh. The research attributes Shenzhen's affordability to relatively low housing prices compared to other global metropolises. But the reason for that is key. Unlike San Francisco, where zoning laws and NMEOIism have restricted supply for decades, causing a crisis, Shenzhen has had a much more aggressive approach to housing supply.
So they basically built their way out of the inflation trap.
In many ways, yes. The government planning ensured that housing stock kept pace, or at least tried to keep pace, with the influx of talent. This means that a young engineer or an expat entrepreneur can move to Shenzhen and find a modern apartment without spending 60% of their income on rent.
This is a crucial nugget for entrepreneurs. Usually you have to choose. Do I want to be in a hub with access to suppliers and talent, or do I want to have a low burn rate? You usually can't have both.
Exactly. If you go to Silicon Valley, you get the network, but your runway is short because your costs are astronomical.
Right.
If you go to a rural town, your costs are low, but you have no network. Shenzhen is presenting a very compelling third option, the network of a top-tier tech hub with the cost structure of a developing economy.
It really challenges the narrative. We assume that to be in a hub, you have to pay the hub tax. Shenzhen seems to be proving that wrong.
It does.
If I'm looking at Movan stay options for a serviced office or a long-term stay, Shenzhen suddenly looks like a strategic genius move. Mm-hmm. You get the access to hardware, prototyping, and engineering that you can't get anywhere else, but your budget stretches almost as far as it would in Vietnam.
It effectively lowers the barrier to entry for innovation. If your burn rate is lower, your runway is longer. That is simple math, but it completely changes the survival rate of a startup. It allows you to fail, pivot, and try again without going bankrupt in 6 months.
That is a massive insight. Okay, so we have the expensive outliers, the Southeast Asian havens, and the Shenzhen anomaly. But let's round out the list. The research didn't just stop at the top and bottom. It identified a few other cities that are specifically noted as the least expensive globally. Who else is on that list?
Well, alongside the Southeast Asian nations we mentioned specifically regarding cities, the research highlights Mumbai, Kuala Lumpur, and Jakarta.
Mumbai, Kuala Lumpur, Jakarta. These are massive, bustling metropolises.
They are. And these cities are leading the pack in affordability. And again, we need to touch on the methodology here because this isn't just, you know, anecdotal evidence from a few travel bloggers.
Right. This is data.
This is coming from the Expat Insider study of over 10,000 expats from 172 nationalities, combined with the rigorous economic analysis from the Lee Kuan Yew School. This is big data confirming a trend.
That is important to emphasize. These are thousands of data points confirming that life in Kuala Lumpur is fundamentally different financially than life in Zurich. But let's talk about the practical application. If I'm a business traveler, how do I use this info?
The implication for the business traveler is profound. Let's say you use a service like Movan Stay to book your accommodations. In a place like Kuala Lumpur, your budget might allow for a luxury serviced apartment in the city center. Hmm. I'm talking about a place with a gym, an infinity pool, housekeeping, concierge, security.
Right.
For the same price, or likely less, than a basic no-frills hotel room in a Western hub.
Or a closet in New York where the radiator clanks all night.
Exactly. So when we talk about cost of living, we're really talking about quality of life per dollar. In cities like Jakarta and Mumbai, the trade-offs are different, certainly. Traffic, pollution, infrastructure challenges. But the financial leverage you gain is undeniable. Hmm. You can outsource almost all of your domestic chores, have a driver, and live in a premium facility.
It really changes how you plan a year. If you have the flexibility to choose your location, which so many of us do in 2025, why wouldn't you arbitrage that?
Of course.
Why wouldn't you spend 6 months in Kuala Lumpur or Vietnam, bank the savings, and then maybe do a shorter stint in Singapore for the high-level meetings?
That is the sophisticated approach. It's moving away from I live in country X to I utilize the region of Asia based on my economic and professional needs.
I love that. using the region as a portfolio.
Exactly. You use Singapore for the handshake, the capital raising, and the legal headquarters. But you use Vietnam or Shenzhen for the build, the operations, and the lifestyle.
And that is where services that facilitate that mobility like move and stay become infrastructure for your life, not just travel booking sites.
Precisely. They allow you to maintain that portfolio of locations without the headache of finding a new landlord in every city.
So what does this all mean? If we zoom out and look at the landscape of 2025, it feels like a year of extremes.
It is. We are seeing a polarization. On one end, you have Singapore and Hong Kong. They are charging a premium for their status, their stability, and their rule of law. They're basically saying, if you want to be at the top table, the buy-in is high.
And for many, it's worth it.
And honestly, for many corporations, that price is worth paying for the predictability.
And on the other side?
On the other side, you have Vietnam, Shenzhen, and the rest of Southeast Asia offering incredible economic efficiency. They are saying, come here, build here, live well here, and keep your equity. It's a very aggressive pitch to the global talent pool.
It's a compelling pitch. And for you, the listener, whether you're that corporate leader planning an expansion or an entrepreneur bootstrapping your next big thing, the where matters just as much as the what.
Absolutely.
You can't just look at the tax rate. You have to look at the cost of living for your team, the cost of housing, the quality of life.
You cannot divorce your business strategy from your location strategy anymore. In a remote, capable world, location is strategy.
And finding the right extended stay solution, whether it's a hotel or a serviced office, it requires looking at these macroeconomic trends. You have to look at the map with a calculator in your hand.
And an open mind. Because as we saw with Shenzhen, the old assumptions don't always hold up. Just because a city is high tech doesn't mean it has to be high cost.
That brings us to the end of this deep dive, and I want to leave you with a thought. We talked about the Shenzhen surprise, a Silicon Valley environment at a fraction of the cost. And we talked about Vietnam offering the best financial comfort globally.
It raises a very important question about the future of talent.
Exactly. If the barriers to entry in the West, the cost of living, the rent, the inflation keep rising, and the barriers in the East keep lowering while the quality of life goes up, will we see a massive brain drain from the West to the East in the next decade?
Are we already seeing it?
That's the question. Are the next generation of innovators packing your bags for Shenzhen or Ho Chi Minh City right now, not because they have to, but because it's the only rational choice left? Something to chew on. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
Until next time.